The British economy is officially worse than expected. Will 2012 be the year of recovery or recession? Meanwhile, the fuel problem is growing, with the government telling drivers to stockpile gasoline over fears of a looming strike by fuel tanker drivers. At the same time, George Osborne's budget for 2012 has been met by largely negative reception in the press and from members of the public. Osborne reduced the 50% top rate of income tax to 45% and drove through new cuts to corporation tax. This is News Analysis.
Tanker drivers have decided to stop working, possibly as early as next week. Union members want more job security and minimum standards covering pay. This as authorities have already readied plans to call in army soldiers to drive the tankers in case of a lengthy strike. The latest developments have further fueled concerns about gasoline prices, which have already hit record highs in Britain and the US. Just last week, the average cost of 1 litre of unleaded gasoline exceeded 140 pence, equal to some $2.20. Britain's economic woes don't just end there. The outlook remains bleak, mainly due to self-inflicted wounds. The government plans to raise fuel tax for consumers by more than 3 pence, or almost 5 US cents, a litre. A move that'll push gas prices even higher. The rich are to get tax cuts under the 2012 budget proposed by Finance Minister George Osborne, and big oil companies will receive tax breaks amounting to more than £3 billion, or over $4.7 billion. The planned measures have angered the public.
The protest is actually very valid. They're actually saying that we don't want tax cuts for the rich. We want more jobs and investment in jobs.
The super rich in this country have seen a tax cut given to by a government of the rich, by their friends George Osborne, Nick Clegg, David Cameron, who come from the same background, go to the same school. It is a tiny elite. And I think there's something obscene about tax cuts for the rich at a time when the vast majority of people in Britain are seeing their living standards being pushed down.
A study by investment bank Liberum Capital has found that energy prices will rise by more than 7% a year as the government seeks to shut down coal-fired plants in keeping with anti-pollution measures. Meanwhile, the Office for National Statistics has estimated that Britain's GDP fell 0.3% in the fourth quarter of 2011. This surpasses the 0.2% drop predicted previously. The government's spending plan has been widely criticised by the public and a number of politicians as a budget for millionaires. The leader of the opposition Labour Party, Ed Miliband, says the tax plans show the government is out of touch with the people because they cut taxes for millionaires.
Well, joining me now live from London is Mr. Shabir Razwi. He's an economic commentator. Thank you very much for joining us. Also with us live from New York is Mr. Ian Williams with Foreign Policy in Focus. And with us live from London again is economics editor with The Independent, Mr. Sean O'Grady. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us. My first question to our guest in London, Mr. Razwi. The recent data, Mr. Razwi, on the drop in GDP in the UK shows what a bad year, of course, 2011 was for the UK economy. The question is, how is 2012 going to be like?
Well, obviously, I don't have a crystal ball, but looking at the situation as to what's happening to the UK economy, especially with the measures that our Chancellor has taken, namely reducing the tax for the very rich, austerity measures, and all issues of that nature, especially our productivity manufacturing base, is really decimated. So I don't know how we in UK will be able to see light at the end of the tunnel. It's in all probability, it will be a very difficult year for ordinary people, certainly without any doubt, with petrol, fuel prices increasing, energy prices increasing, austerity measures all around. And austerity measures, really, like Greece, Spain, Italy, Portugal, where there are problems, we in UK are in a way also defaulting, because austerity measures is also a form of default, which is what our government is really doing by cutting on all levels of social services at the same time, providing tax breaks, reducing 5% tax on 50% to 45% really shows where the heart of this government lies.
Right, Mr. Razi, I'll just stop you there if I may. I'm going to go back to the issue of austerity and the cuts that you just mentioned there. But first, Sean O'Grady, let's have your view on this as well. Now, the Office for National Statistics says that the GDP drop last year was due to a decline in the services sector and household spending. But will production remain poor and lead the UK into recession this year? At the same time, some reports are already saying it looks like GDP has returned to positive growth in 2012. So will the UK not fall into recession, or will it?
Well, it's about 50-50. The British economy has been zigzagging all around, getting a little bit bigger one quarter, a little shrinkage the next quarter, growing a little bit the next quarter, shrinking a little quarter after that. So it may be that we have two quarters. We happen to have two quarters where it declines. But overall this year, the economy will be in growth. I think most economists do agree on that, providing there isn't a much bigger disaster in the Eurozone, which is a big export market for Britain and a very important source of investment and other funds. Provided that doesn't happen, and providing the world economy doesn't go too badly wrong, the Chancellor's plans will probably come to fruition. And the British state is in a better condition than European countries, many of which are either in recession or going into recession, and which are still borrowing far too much. The British people have had to face up to the fact that during the boom years, we consumed too much. We had a party, and the country, the public sector and the private sector, could not continue like that. We had to rein in. We had to reduce our consumption.
Right.
And this year, people will see the biggest fall in living standards in 35 years. But that was inevitable when we were living so far beyond our means. We had to readjust the economy, and it is very painful. There's no doubt about it. But the alternative, which is just to carry on borrowing and try and keep the party going, that really isn't on.
Right. Let's bring in Ian Williams on this. Now, Mr. Williams, economists are saying that overall the British economy has been flat over the period since autumn 2010. The question is, why? Is it because, as our guest in London, Mr. Razvi, was saying, because of the austerity drive and basically about the unresolved problems in the Eurozone? We know, of course, that Britain is not part of the Eurozone, but it has, of course, a great reliance on the Eurozone when it comes to trade.
Well, there's a combination of factors. I mean, Britain is uniquely exposed to two of the blocs in recession. That's North America and the European Union. So it's, in the sense, it's almost surprising that it's done as well as it has. And you know, I think the Bank of England has to take some credit here, because while the government has been slamming on the brakes with quantitative easing, the Bank of England has actually been putting money into the economy in a sort of Keynesian way, in defiance of the government. But the government's austerity measures certainly aren't going to help. And I'm afraid, listening to Sean O'Grady, it's a bit like, if you remember the old joke about the Lone Ranger and Tonto surrounded with Indians, and he says, what are we going to do? You know, who is we? When you say we have been overspending, Britain, less than America, but still more than many other countries, has seen a huge increase in inequality. There are a lot of people have been making out, and I say, use the word advisedly, like bandits over the last decade. And what's happened now is we have a government that's determined to keep it that way. It isn't cushioning the weaker sectors. And it's also sending symbolic messages. The reduction of 50% to 45% is actually not that significant in terms of fiscal revenue. But it's very significant in terms of the message it sends about who this government is supporting and who it isn't. And really, it's up to the people of Britain to draw the necessary conclusions. There's a coalition government in there, and it should be plain to either or both of the parties that they won't get back if they carry on this course.
Right. I want to put that case up with our guest in London, Mr. O'Grady. But first, let's bring in Mr. Razvi back. When we are, Mr. Razvi, speaking of the factors that are putting pressure now on the UK government, one important fact that you also raised yourself was the issue of rising oil prices. So basically, do you think that is the major concern, because some economists, according to one report that I was reading, were saying that risks from the Eurozone crisis have actually moderated since last December, but rising oil prices have now emerged as a concern that could prolong the squeeze on the consumers. So what do you think?
Well, one of the facts is that we in UK trade 50% with Europe, so we are exposed to what happens in Europe in one way or another. I really want to go back to the austerity measures and the issue that my other colleague in New York quite rightly commented. You know, Mr. Clinton famously once said that it's the economy stupid, but it's not really the economy, it's the politics stupid. You know, how our politicians actually do things, they really show that which side of the fence that they are on. They are with the rich and the wealthy, and we are always told at the bottom end of the spectrum that there should be more squeeze. You know, we are talking about people earning 20,000, 25,000 pounds salary who have to make all the cuts in their budgets. Those who are on extremely high salaries, the 5% reduction in top rate tax is not going to make a huge difference. But as quite rightly pointed out, it is symbolic, and it shows that this government, where the Prime Minister and our Chancellor and Mr. Clegg all went to extremely expensive private schools, went to very good universities, and they really have no idea at all how to live on £20,000, £25,000 a year. So they really are not worried about what's happening to the ordinary man in the street in London or Birmingham or Manchester. And that's where the whole issue is. That is a political matter, and it's not just economics.
Mr. O'Grady, let's bring in George Osborne's 2012 budget in this. It's been criticised, of course, for not considering the small and medium-sized businesses, and it's been called the millionaire budget. So basically, what's your view on these kinds of arguments?
Well, I think that some of it is rather unfair, actually. I mean, there is a signal that the cut in the top rate of income tax sends out, and it's not just an internal political symbol or message, it's one to the rest of the world. Britain had, after many years of change, been left with an uncompetitive taxation regime. That was basically the problem that we had. We had to raise taxes in the crisis of 08, 09, 10, and this was one of the taxes that was raised in order to raise some money. But the problem was that it really didn't raise that much money, and it sent the wrong signal out to international investors and people of talent who might wish to come and work and live in Britain. And that was an important thing to consider. Our taxation system was becoming uncompetitive, so it had to be fixed. Now, on the issue of small and medium-sized businesses, I think the main problem with them has been the flow of credit. There have been some reforms there, and there have been some projects to increase that. On the other hand, for those businesses, the reduction in corporation tax, I mean, for businesses in general, has been very helpful, I think, and again, is making Britain more competitive internationally on taxation rates. And I suppose the last thing is that all of the companies that we're talking about and the UK citizens benefit from having a country that has still managed to retain its AAA status, when all around the world, even in America, in Western Europe and so forth, the countries that hold these things are crumbling almost every week. And that's been a very, very important thing that the British economy has managed to resolve. And lastly, on the poor people, the poorer people in this country, in Britain, the coalition government has made a huge amount of progress in taking many millions of people out of income tax altogether. They don't pay income tax at all if they earn up to £9,000, I suppose about $13,000 a year, not very much money, but they will not pay income tax if they're on that sort of money.
Right. Mr. Williams, let's have your view on what was just said there by Mr. O'Grady. Basically, would you also say that George Osborne's budget plan was not actually unfair, and that it is actually the taxation issue is pertaining to the competitiveness issue for Britain, and that Britain is going to maintain that AAA rating?
Well, if we look at the real world, then by those definitions, Greece and Ireland, where companies paid virtually zero tax, should have booming economies. They don't. Obviously, there's a lot more to it than the type of fiscal finagling that's been going on tax rates. And the real point has been there's been a major shift in the Western economies, and particularly in the Anglo-Saxon, the American and the British economies, of wealth towards a small group of people. And that wealth has been reinvested in what seems to be speculative investments and using money to make more money. It certainly hasn't been invested in productive industry or lending to small and medium enterprises or to entrepreneurs. Now, the British economy is remarkably resilient, and you know, I think people, having seen it fall from the heights of empire, are gloomier about it than it is. It is still very competitive in many sectors. But it's also true that previous governments basically abandoned whole swathes of manufacturing for all sorts of reasons, political and social and economic. I think one thing not to be underrated is that Margaret Thatcher and Reagan and his successors didn't like manufacturing industries because there were strong unions in there, and they didn't like strong unions. She was quite prepared to close the coal mines down to get rid of the mine workers' union. There's a ruthlessness from some of these ideologues that makes Stalin seem like a sort of Sunday school teacher on occasion when it comes to the economics. There's a whole slew of factors here that have come together. But that inequality is the basic core. And right across Europe, belatedly, people are saying, no, we're not going to pay for the mistakes made by the people who have been robbing us blind for 20 years.
Right, what we're seeing in the UK...
That's the conundrum that's coming up now.
Right, what we're seeing in the UK right now, Mr. Razwi, if I could put this question to you, the looming strike by tanker drivers, a lot of panic we're hearing in the reports as the government has announced that there may be a fuel shortage if their strike goes forward, that they've asked people to start stocking fuel. Basically, let's look at the public reaction that these measures by the economic authorities are receiving in the UK and the effect of this public reaction on the economy.
I think the issue is very clear that there will be strikes. Teachers, as you know, are planning to go on strikes. Late last year, November, December, we had the whole strikes taking place by people working in their local councils and government employees and so on. So we are seeing that kind of reaction from all over the working sector, whereby people are realizing that they are being asked to tighten their belt while the rich and the wealthy are getting away scot-free. And that's where the debate is taking place now, I believe. And the whole of 2012 will be focused, whereby the ordinary people will be demanding from the government that these austerity measures should not hit the ordinary people that significantly.
Right. Sorry for jumping in there, because we're running out of time. The last comments to our guests in London also, Mr. O'Grady, we had the BOE Governor Mervyn King saying that an extra day's public holiday later this year to mark Queen Elizabeth Diamond Jubilee or 60 years on the throne could in fact hinder economic growth. These kinds of issues are also being put forward now. Tell us your view basically on the public reactions in the UK.
Well, the public reaction has been rather unfavourable. The British people don't like the austerity measures. They don't like the fact that their living standards are falling. Many of them feel as though the government has an unfair approach and that it favours the rich rather than the poor, as has been said on this show. But on the other hand, they also know that the British economy needed to be fixed. They know that the public finances needed to be fixed, and they know that the economy needs to rebalance and become more competitive in an incredibly challenging world environment. When you have China and India, not anymore France and Germany, that the British industries have to compete with, upcoming nations like that. Right. You know, the British people are realistic enough to know what's necessary. And also, I'm afraid that they don't have an enormous amount of faith in the Labour Party, the opposition party, to fix things, because most of them think that they got us into this mess in the first place, rightly or wrongly.
Right, I'm afraid we've run out of time. A big thank you there to Mr. Sean O'Grady, economics editor of The Independent, joining us there live from London. Also our guest in New York, Mr. Ian Williams with Foreign Policy in Focus, and also in London with us, economic commentator Shabbir Razwi. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us. From Miho Malezgi and the rest of the team in Tehran, until our next programme, it's goodbye.